The Byzantines, on the other hand, had their share of contempt for the Western Europeans, and it isn't just the pages of Anna Komnena, a disgruntled princess who's out of political power because of her brother. She does reflect general attitudes among at least part of the court aristocracy. There was a mixture of contempt and admiration for the Byzantine by the Byzantines for the Western Europeans, and there was certainly enough expression of rising anti-Latin by which the Byzantines met Western Christians in their empire, starting with the death of Manuel I. Manuel I died in 1180 and left as his heir a young son, an infant, Alexis II, named after the great-grandfather, whose mother was Maria of Antioch, a Latin princess. The regency was extremely unpopular. There were riots and difficulties. A riot was staged in 1182 by a possible candidate to the throne, a man named Andronicus, who is... Well, without going into details, let's just say that Andronicus was the Byzantine answer to Raynal de Chatillon. He was the Byzantine gigolo running around seducing princesses in Antioch and in Byzantine provinces with a really dubious reputation. He was in his late 50s at the time and really eager to get a throne, and he capitalized on the political weakness in Constantinople to stir up riots, which eventually led to the murder of the entire imperial family and his elevation to the throne as emperor. He didn't remain emperor for very long. He, in turn, was overthrown by yet another coup. But Andronicus I traded on anti-Latin sentiment. There were riots against Italian merchants and residents in the city of Constantinople. And many were attacked, killed, property was seized. Pisans, Genoese, Amalfians suffered grievously. And the cry went out, you know, kill the Latins, no reunion with Rome. And there was a really virulent anti-Latin sentiment expressed in 1182. Now, part of it was from an idle mob. Part of it were from Orthodox monks, especially from the St. Theodore the Studian. But it hit a powerful chord, and it was remembered. Ironically, the Venetians didn't suffer much in those riots because the Venetians were still in the midst of renegotiating their status, which had been compromised back in 1171. Nonetheless, it did bear out that there was plenty of popular resentment toward notions of reunion with Rome, even though it had never gone through, to anger at the Italian merchants, even though their concessions were really quite restricted compared to what they had in Outremer. That was a matter of no concern to the Byzantines. They didn't care about that. As well as the growing resentment of crusading armies that had marched through, Henry VI, the emperor and son of Frederick Barbarossa, before he departed to the east in 1197, the first thing he did was demand an enormous amount of money from Constantinople, from the then reigning emperor, as a way of time to pay up. And the emperor actually started taxing his subjects and would have paid it had not Henry VI died. So the Byzantines had plenty of reason to dislike crusaders by the time of 1203. And so there was enough blame on both sides that a misunderstanding was bound to occur. Furthermore, it must be said that the Byzantines' institutional weakness, its fiscal weakness, military impotence, all of it a result of the legacy of the policies of Manuel I, almost invited intervention. And after 1185, when a new dynasty comes to the throne, the so-called Angelin emperors, starting with Isaac II first, and then his brother who deposes him, Alexis III, and then to confuse matters, the son of Isaac, Alexis IV, followed by an Alexis V, they're all of the same family. All of these emperors together do not add up to much imperial leadership at all. In fact, the best solution for the imperial government would have been to execute all of these rulers and start over. None of them had the kind of foresight and courage and ability of any of the Komnenian emperors. None of them were in a position to make any sort of terms. All of them were not above using Western allies, alliances, extravagant promises, if it would somehow give them a political advantage back in Constantinople. And you can understand why. They're competing against aristocrats of the great 30 families. They're facing potential rebellions. They know they have no legitimacy in the eyes of their subjects. And so these rulers from the start are weak-willed and ineffectual and bear a good deal of responsibility for the sack of 1204. So, with that background, it becomes quite clear that there's plenty of responsibility on all ends. And if anyone gets cleared of a conspiratorial charge, it's, in my opinion, Innocent III. And then you can share out the blame among the Venetians, the Crusader leaders, and the rather pathetic cast of imperial figures in the events of 1203-1204.